Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, we continue our study of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Now, this letter sometimes is called the Good News of God. We see God's plan of salvation for fallen mankind, but you know what else? We see also God's plan for believers so they can grow and be conformed to the image of His Son. So this book has a lot in it. It shows us great truths concerning sin and salvation, Christian life, Israel, the church, practical application, so much in there. Well, this morning we're moving to what we call the second big section of the book of Romans. We call it the solution. We find in this section of God's Word the greatest message ever given, and one that every human being needs to know. We see the solution to the problem that we have been seeing in chapters 1, 2, and 3, that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Whether you're the bad man, the good man, the religious man, it doesn't matter. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. The solution to that problem is Jesus Christ, and by faith in Him, we have eternal life. And the truth is that God sent His Son into the world to die for us, to pay the payment for our sins, to be buried and rise again, and whoever will believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And we're going to see this morning that He not only declares us to be righteous, He gives us His righteousness as well. It's a powerful truth. We want to continue to gain understanding from God's Word this morning. Well, as we begin, you know, we have a class at Countryside. We call it the 2-2. I get to teach the class, and it's my favorite thing to ever teach. Anybody can take the class. We've had, I'd say maybe 200 people in the last year, two or three years to take it. But what we want is anyone who wants to be a teacher, anyone who wants to take, teach a Sunday school class or something like that, we ask them to make sure they go through the 2-2 so they can understand great truths, because the study deals with theological truths found in God's Word. There is a section in the 2-2 which deals with salvation. It has about eight lessons in there, and there are a lot of terms. Let me give you some terms that are found in that study. Just listen. Terms like justification, expiation, propitiation, imputation, sanctification, redemption, and many others. Now, you hear those words, you go, some of those I know what they mean, some of them I don't know what they mean. There are terms that really all believers need to know. We need to be able to put together these great truths from God's Word concerning His work and His plan of salvation. Well, this morning, as we continue in our study of the book of Romans, we're going to come to the section called the solution. And as we get to that, we're going to see some of these terms. In fact, in just a little bit, I'm going to put up an overhead for you that gives some main terms that we need to know and the definitions of those terms so we can see how those things fit together. Because what we're going to do as we study this passage, we're going to see how God takes unrighteous people and makes us righteous. And that's an incredible truth, because remember, the bad guy's unrighteous. The good guy's unrighteous. The religious guy's unrighteous. There's none righteous. God's going to take unrighteous people and make us righteous. We'll see how He does that. We've been seeing the Word of God, of course, back in Romans chapter 3, verse 9. It says that we're all under sin. And Isaiah 64:6 says that the righteousness of man is filthy rags. And so when we compare ourselves to God, if we look at God, we go, my gracious, we can never measure up. And that's true. So how can a person be right with God? That's a question that every human being needs to ask. Every human being has come short of the glory of God, and if a person wants to be able to go to heaven, you might say, to be with Jesus Christ forever, that's the question that must be asked. How can a person be right with God? How can a person have the righteousness that God demands? Well, as we turn to this great section of God's Word, Romans chapter 3 and 4, we're going to see the solution to man's problem. How can sinful, unrighteous people be made righteous before God? Answer, as we said many times, simply put, is they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and He gives them righteousness. We'll talk about it in just a second. As we begin, let's realize God has a plan to save mankind. We call that the story of the Bible. If somebody said, the Bible's pretty complex, it is, but it's not. The story of the Bible is very simple. Perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. This morning, we're going to continue seeing God's plan of redemption and justification and reconciliation and all of these things. Let me break down the passage for you. What we're going to do is, last week we ended with verses 19 and 20. We'll start there today. In fact, our passage, what we read a while ago, is we're going to look at Romans 3, beginning at verse 19, and go through 24. That's all. We're going to write it this way. In 19 and 20, the purpose of the law. Nobody's saved by the law. The law shows you that you're a sinner. Then in verses 20, 21 through 24. Now, there's so much there. In fact, 25, 26, 27, 28, they all go together, but we just cannot cover that much in one Sunday because there's so much there. So we're going to look at verses 21, 22, 23, and 24, where we're going to talk about righteousness and being declared righteous and made righteous and redemption and all of those things. As we begin, let's go back to a verse that sums the whole thing up of chapters 1, 2, and part of 3. And that's Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Look what it says. It says, "What then? Are we better than they?" Now, Paul writes to the Romans and he says, are we better than the bad guy, the good guy, the religious guy? Of course, the answer is not at all. "For we have already charged, we've already shown that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin." Every human being is a sinner. That's what he said. We talked about last week that said, well, what about a person who says, yeah, well, I've sinned, but see, I'm trying to keep the law. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to do the right things. What is the purpose of the law? And we found out last week that the law has nothing to do with salvation. The law shows you that you're a sinner. That's the purpose. Look at Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is where we'll start this morning. We realize the law shows us we're sinners. The law shows us and brings condemnation, not salvation. Look what he says. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Now, notice what he says. "Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law." Now, when we talk about law, we've said over and over for you to understand, there's two aspects of law. There's the Mosaic law, which was given to the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. And then there is the moral law, which is inside of every person. Romans chapter 2, verse 15 says the law, the principles of right and wrong are inside of every human being. We have a conscience. We know right and wrong. And so he's saying whether it's Mosaic law or whether it's just conscious moral law inside of us, it says, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under law. What does the law say to us? You know what it says? It says you must keep all of the statutes and rules and rights and wrongs, and you must keep them perfectly. And not just one time, not one day, not one week, not one year, but all through your whole life, you must keep every commandment and statute and right and wrong. You must keep it perfectly. You can never sin one time. If you do sin one time, the law says the wages of sin is death. The law says to every one of us, you better keep me perfectly if you're going to look to the law, because if you don't, you can't make it. Now, it says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under law. Now, what do we say back to the law? We can't say anything because it causes us to shut our mouths. Notice, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world become accountable to God. When we look to the law tells us to be quiet, and we go, that's right, I can't say a thing because I can't keep the law. And so the law shows me I am a sinner and I need a Savior. All the world is guilty before God. There are a lot of people that I know that are thinking that if they can try to live a good life, that means try to keep the law. If they can try to, notice how I said it, they try to live a good life, they'll be okay with God. God never said try to live a good life. He said if you're going to do anything good, you have to be perfect, not good. So if you're going to come to God by your own goodness, you can never make a mistake one time. He says, when you look to the law makes you accountable. Notice he goes on to say in verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh could ever be justified. We're going to see the word justified in just a few minutes. It means to be declared right. By the works of the law, no flesh could ever be justified in God's sight. Why? Because nobody can keep the law. For through the law doesn't come salvation. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law shows that you're sinners and you need a Savior. So any of us, now, I didn't know. See, remember I told you when I was 19, before I was 19, I thought as long as you did more good than bad, you'd go to heaven. I didn't understand the law. I kind of was saying, here's all my good, here's all my bad. Good should outweigh the bad. But when I understood that one bad eliminates me, I can't go to heaven by being good because I got one bad. All of us in this room have at least one bad. And we've come short of the glory of God. And the law says you are a sinner. Well, what are we going to do? Well, the great truth is salvation is not based on us, but it's based on God. And this morning, we're going to see the solution. Let's put up the solution one. We've got a new overhead, which is going to show. Here's our solution. You remember we saw chapters 1 through about 3, 19 and 20. We talked about that was the problem. Well, here's the solution. And in Romans chapter 3 and Romans 4, the way of salvation, justification by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the good news. You're saved by faith in Christ. We're going to see in 19 and 20 that the law condemns us, but apart from the law, we are justified, declared right by faith. That's 3:21 through 28. We're going to see as both the Jew and the Gentile, it's the same way. In fact, in chapter 4, he's going to give us examples of Abraham and David. Abraham before the Mosaic law, David after the Mosaic law. All people are saved, justified in the same way, simply by faith. And so the next 2 to 3 weeks, as we go through Romans 3 and 4, and it's going to take us a little while because there's so much in there, we'll be putting this one up. This is the solution, the way of salvation. And aren't you glad we didn't get stuck in chapters 1, 2, and 3? That, you know, because we'd be dead. Because the wages of sin is death, and we can never get out, and there's no hope. But in chapter 3, 21 through 4, 25, he says, now here's the solution to the bad man, good man, religious man, the ones who have all under sin, the one who have fallen short of the glory of God. Here's the solution. You can be justified, saved, have eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Boy, it's so perfect. Well, we need to understand that. Now, for us, as we go through the passage this morning, I got something else for you. As we go through the passage, especially when we get into 21, 22, 23, 24, as we see that, there are going to be some terms there that you need to understand. So I've got an overhead which gives us some terms that we need to look at. I'm going to go through them very quickly, and in the next couple of weeks we'll go through them more. But here are 6 terms that are important to know. Grace, faith, justification, imputation, redemption, and propitiation. Some of those have big names. They just mean something pretty simple, though. Let's start with the first one. The first one is grace. It means unmerited favor from God. It means God gives you what you don't deserve. God deals with us always in grace. Every aspect of our life is grace. Your salvation is by grace. Your Christian life is by grace. Your eternal future is all by grace. God deals with us in grace. He didn't look down at us and say, we're trying so hard, I think I'll reward them. God didn't reward us at all in that sense. God in his grace says they're like sheep going astray, doing our own thing. There's none righteous. And yet in my grace, I'm going to save them. That's what grace is. Unmerited favor. Second is the word faith. Faith means to take it as true or to believe it as true. It is used hundreds of times in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. It means to believe or to take as true. People are sometimes confused about faith. The key in faith is the object of our faith. The object of our faith for salvation is Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ. We take it as true that he died for us, paid for our sins, and gives us eternal life. It's that simple. You will hear people use terms like saving faith, true faith, sincere faith, heart faith, head faith. There are no such things as that. The Bible doesn't mention them at all. The Bible uses the word faith, which means to trust in, to take as true, to believe as true. For your salvation, you put as true, you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're believing he will give you eternal life. That's salvation. That's your faith in Christ. That's what it means. We'll see some more about that. The third word is the word justification. Justification means to be declared righteous. It's a legal term. It was a courtroom. If you stood before the judge and he went, boom, I justify you, that means he's declaring you right. That's what it means. God justifies us, declares us right. That means he announces that we are right, and it comes by faith. The Bible, we're going to see it a bunch of places, justified simply by faith. There's another word, and it's the word imputation. Now, in the Bible, we're going to see it in our passage. We're going to see the word to credit. That's over in chapter 4. The word impute means to credit from one account to another. You had $50. You went down to the bank, and you said, I'd like to put this $50 in my account. They would impute it to your account. They would credit you with $50. Imputation is to be made righteous. God takes his righteousness and gives it to you, to your account. Now, are we righteous or unrighteous? We are unrighteous. Bad guy, good guy, religious guy. There's none righteous, no, not one. When you believe in Jesus Christ, God actually says, I'm taking my righteousness and I'm giving it to you. That means every one of us in this room who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have God's righteousness. That's what imputation is, to be made righteous. There's a fifth word, and it's the word redemption. Redemption means to purchase by paying a price. You go down to the store and you buy something. You give them money, you just redeemed it. You purchased by paying a price. Jesus Christ came and he purchased us by paying a price. The price was death. He died in our place. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ came and died in our place. The wages of sin. The Bible tells that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So that's redemption. And the last word, and we won't get to this one today, it's the word propitiation. It's a big word, but it just means satisfactory payment. It means there's been a payment that satisfies God. Now, if you come to God and you said, God, I'm bringing all my good works to you to satisfy you, God says, that doesn't satisfy me. Now, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, paying for sin, God says, that satisfies me. That is the satisfactory payment. Jesus is called our propitiation, which means a satisfactory payment. So those words are powerful. We're going to see them as we go through our lesson. We'll go fairly quickly today. Grace, faith, justification, imputation, or to credit, redemption, and propitiation. Propitiation is in verse 25, and we won't get to that today. Now, let's think about what we've already seen. In Romans 3, 19 and 20 says, the law shows you you're a sinner and we can't measure up. So how can we be right with God? The bad guy? Unrighteous. The good guy? Unrighteous. The religious guy? Unrighteous. All are under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, notice the contrast. Look at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now he says, in contrast to sin and death, in contrast to the fact that the law shows us we're sinner and none of us are righteous and none of us can measure up, in contrast to that, but now apart from law, because remember, the law can't save us, the law can't help us. He says, but apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. And the word manifest means to be shown. God has shown how we can have righteousness. And it's apart from the law, because you can't have righteousness from the law, because you can't keep the law. So none of us are righteous by the law. So he says, apart from the law, God has manifested his righteousness. God shows us how we can be righteousness. That's powerful. Separate from the law, God has said, this is how you can be righteous. And there's a surprise. It's not something new. It's something been found throughout the whole Bible. Look what he says at the end of verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, has been shown, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He says it's all through the Old Testament. And it is. You can go to the Old Testament and you can see how a person can be right with God and have God's righteousness. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. When Abraham believed in the coming Messiah, that's what it talked about, how God had told Abraham there was going to be a Savior. When Abraham believed God, it was imputed, credited to him for righteousness. Now he says, the Bible tells us, Old Testament and New Testament tells us the way you can be righteous with God. Now, before I look at the next verse, ask this question. Every one of us in this room, humanly speaking, are all sinners. We've all fallen short. There's none righteous. How in the world can we have the righteousness that God demands? We know that the Bible says God's going to give it to us. How? Look at the next verse. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. God's righteousness comes by faith. It's that simple. Notice he makes sure we don't miss it. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. He just said, hey, I want to make sure you got it. Faith and believe. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives you his righteousness, and you have the righteousness that is demanded. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. If your Bible's like mine, Romans 4, 5 is on the same page. May not be, but if you look at Romans 4, verse 5, look what it says. But to him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited. That's the word imputed. His faith is credited as righteousness. Any human being who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, God gives to you his righteousness. As I look at this room, I don't know everybody. I know most of you. I hope and pray every one of you in this room are righteous before God. And the only way you can be righteous before God is not by your righteousness, because your righteousness is rags. We're sinners. The only way you can be righteous before God is by faith in Christ. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, He gives you His righteousness. This is one of the greatest truths in the Bible. How can an unrighteous person be with God and be righteous? When you believe in Jesus, He gives it to you. And it's one of the greatest truths in the Bible. A man by the name of Cunningham said this. He said, under the law, God requires righteousness from man. But under grace, God gives righteousness to man. That's what He does. Now, is this for everybody? Every human being can have the righteousness of God by faith. Notice, it's for all of us. Verse 22 says, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, there is no distinction. Whether you're bad, you're good, you're religious, it doesn't make any difference. All of us can have the righteousness of God, which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, verse 23 is quoted wrong most of the time. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Literally in the Greek, it says, all have sinned and are continually falling short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room have sinned, and we are all falling short of the glory of God. Oscar Wilde said this. He said, you know, the worst advice we could ever give anybody is be yourself. Because we're all sinners. We're all falling short of the glory of God. Do you realize that when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, God makes you righteous? And every one of us in this room who have believed in Jesus, as far as God is concerned, on the record book, you are perfectly righteous because He has given you His righteousness. Now, there could be no, that's the greatest news of all time. How can bad guy, good guy, religious guy, how can any of us be righteous? And God says, I'll give it to you. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. I'll give it to you simply by faith. Now, there's more. I'm going to go very quickly through this last part. Look what it says. Verse 24 says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. He says, justified. Now, justified is a different word. You remember, justified means to be declared righteous. Not only does God make you righteous, He declares you to be righteous as well. He announces, you are righteous. Notice, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that God not only makes us righteous, He declares us righteous, and it's not based on our works or our goodness, it's based on His grace and gift. There are two words that stand out in this passage, but let me remind you of something. You remember Ephesians 2:8-9? It says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift. Grace and gift. Notice what this verse says. Being justified as a gift by His grace. Same thing. Over and over in Paul's writings, he continually hits the idea of grace and gift. Now, a lot of people don't understand grace and gift. They don't get it. Salvation is not based on what we do. It is a gift given to us by the grace of God. Let me show you something. Let me illustrate something. What if I said to you, listen, I've got $10. I'll give you $10 if you'll wash my car. I'm not giving you $10. You're earning $10. You got to go wash the car and get the $10. That's not grace. That's not a gift. That's works. If I said to you, here's $10. Here, take it. Oh, what I did? Nothing. Take it. Take it. What? Nothing. Take it. It's a gift. That's a gift. Now, God did not say to you, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you eternal life if you're willing to repent of your sins, give your life to Jesus, walk down to the front, agree to serve Him, do all of these following things. That's not a gift. God didn't say that. A lot of people say that. God didn't say that. God said, I give you eternal life as a gift by faith. When you believe in Jesus Christ, I give you, not that you earn, I give you eternal life. And don't mix it up. It is that simple. There are people who will say, God wants to give you eternal life, but you need to turn away from this and be willing to do this and commit yourself to Him and serve Him all your life and do all this stuff. That's not salvation. That's works. That's not a gift. Notice what he says. Being justified as a gift by His grace. Remember what grace is? Unmerited favor. You don't do anything for it. Now he ends, and let me go through this quickly. He says, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. What's the basis that God, through a gift and grace, can give us eternal life? It's because Jesus Christ has redeemed us. Redemption means to purchase by paying a price. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he died in our place on the cross. And what was the price? We owed God death. We all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. What did God do? He said, Jesus is going to purchase them. He's going to pay the price. The price is death. Jesus is going to die in their place on the cross, pay for sin, and rise again. He is going to redeem them and purchase them. And that's why he says that we are saved. We're justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. God makes us righteous, declares us righteous when we believe in Jesus who redeemed us by his death and resurrection. What have we seen? We're made righteous, imputation. We're declared righteous, justification. All on the death and resurrection and the purchase of Jesus Christ, which is called redemption. So this morning we saw three of those words. Now we talked about grace, and we talked about faith, and we talked about imputation, and we talked about justification, and we talked about redemption. There's still some more words. We'll see those next time. But do you see how it fits together? In Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and paid for sin, redemption, he gives you eternal life, he gives you his righteousness, and he declares you righteous when you believe in Christ. It's that simple. That's all it is. Don't add to the Word of God. Be very careful what comes out of your mouth when you want to tell someone what they must do to have eternal life. Tell them they believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, and he gives them his righteousness and eternal life based on his redemption. Next time, we're going to see in verse 25, propitiation and some other stuff. There's some great things there, and we'll see it as we put this together. What have we seen? Man is under sin and unrighteous. God's righteousness was shown both in the Old Testament and New Testament. It's just by faith. Righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ, and all who believe in him are not only declared righteous, they are made righteous. There's no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're declared righteous by faith through Jesus Christ who redeemed us. Let me give you some applications. We'll go through them very quickly. First one is understand that God has a plan of salvation for all people. Remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the bad, the good, the religious. It doesn't matter. We're all sinful. We're all under sin. We all need a Savior. God has a plan to save mankind. Number two, Jesus Christ redeemed us by his death and resurrection. This is the basis that God can give you the gift of eternal life. It's because Jesus has already done it all. He came to the earth, died on the cross, and paid for sin, and rose again. He purchased us. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Since the wages of sin is death, Jesus Christ died. It's that simple. Now, here's the third part, and this is the greatest part of all. All who believe in Jesus Christ are given God's righteousness. Every human being who ever trusts in Christ as their Savior are given by God his righteousness. Not only are they made righteous, they are declared righteous. Don't ever take it for granted. What man cannot do for himself, being under sin and unrighteousness, God provides as a gift freely given by faith in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. Can you believe that? Is that the most incredible thing? I mean, stop and think what we just said. You're unrighteous. We're all unrighteous. And God says, I'll give you my righteousness. Believe in my Son who's already died for you, paid for your sins, redeemed you, and rose again. Do you believe in him? Yes. I'll not only declare you to be righteous, I will give you righteousness so you will be like me and you can spend eternity with me. That's what the Word of God says. And it's not based on one thing we do. It is a gift, grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. May we proclaim to all people God's plan of salvation. He gives by his grace the gift of eternal life to all who believe in Jesus Christ. He makes us righteous and declares us righteous through Jesus Christ who died and rose again, redeeming us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. That Lord, we thank you that you have a plan of salvation for every human being because all of us are under sin. All of us are unrighteous and need a Savior. Thank you that Jesus came and died and rose again and redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. And thank you, Lord, all who believe in Jesus Christ are given eternal life and righteousness simply by faith. Thank you, Lord, that what we could never do on our own, what we could never earn, what we could never work for, what we could never keep, you give to us as a gift through your grace because of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ and our faith in him as Savior. Lord, use this body of believers. Use us to tell people the clear grace message of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.